universe, solar system, planet, continent, country, county, city, town, village, hamlet, home, family, self, God in all. From the vastness of the universe to the intimacy of relationship, no one excluded, each of us different, yet united, no longer strangers, but friends that have yet to meet. How much more a peaceful world if only we could live this truth. Well, good morning, everyone. I've put my cassock on today. I feel like someone just might be going around that corner. If it comes back again, the cassock goes again, but it's a bit cooler today. The order of service has quite a lot of intimations in it for you. A couple of things just maybe to point out, just a reminder to the Kirk session. We have a meeting on the 28th at 7:30 here in the sanctuary. And the order of service itself, a wee apology from my part. The office send me the order of service each week and say, can you check this? And I checked it and I said, yeah, that looks fine. Thank you very much. You squeezed everything in. And then I actually realised I hadn't spotted a hymn that had been missed out. So don't be following the order of service at the end of the towards the end of the service. I'll keep you right as we go along. There's one more hymn in there. Also, just to say that next Sunday, the Sunday Jammer back, so the children will be back with us. And as part of our service next week, we're going to do a thing called the Blessing of the Backpacks, just to sort of set them up for their new term at school. We're going to offer them a blessing as they go. Now, if any of you have a backpack, maybe your piece bag or your work bag or your handbag that you like and would like to be part of that, please feel free to take them with you too. And it'll just be a wee fun thing during their time with the children, just to wish them well and to wish all of us well in what always seems like the start of a new session at this time of year. So that's for us all there. Something we're introducing today at the end of the service is that when the Bible's carried out, we're going to sing a little song. So we'll stand for the benediction as normal, we'll sing the Amen, and then Emily is going to go straight into playing this little song that you should have the words for in your order of service. We're going to have a wee sing through of it just now so that at the end we can go seamlessly into it. But the idea is that rather than there being a kind of gap between the Amen and some music playing as the Bible and I leave the church, that we'll go straight into it and the Bible will then be taken out and I'll walk down singing a wee as well. Okay, so Emily, if you could play it through and if you want to join in. Some of you will know it because we've used it at Holiday Club and at Messy Church and other things. So we'll go straight into that at the end of the service. But for this morning, for now, we're here to worship God. There is no them, no us. There is only us. We are not a chosen few, but we're all part of God's family, and we gather here as one. So let's worship God together. We stand and sing hymn 510. Jesus calls us here to meet him, and we sing verses 1 to 3.
Thank you.
Let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, of a new morning and of all our days and nights, we gather here to praise you in sound and silence, in story and song, with voices and hearts eager to know you and to move a little closer to you. Life-giving God, you have called us from many places, along many roads, and through many histories to this moment and place, that we might be reminded of your faithfulness. You have heard the songs of our souls, mingled with tears and laughter, burning with anger and shouting with joy, as we navigate life's pathways with you as our constant companion. You have shared flesh with us, known blood pulsing through our veins and flowing from your wounds, experienced death and isolation so that you might know for yourself our struggles and our sorrows. You came back to us, threw off the weight of dirt and stone to unearth a promise made before time and hand it to us fresh and clean and full of life. And you have stayed with us, Lord, even as our song has fallen silent, our minds have become closed, our words have become sharp like a sword in your side. Lord God, you have blessed us and freed us from our failures. You have put your trust in us that we might bring blessing and freedom to others through your word. May our voices always be praising you. May our actions always be sharing you. May our hearts always be open to you. And may our lives be a living sacrifice to you, so that all may see and hear your glory. And hear us as we now join our voices as one in Jesus' prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. I have a wee story for you. It was tea and coffee time after church, and Alec and Robin were sitting in the hall. Alec looked around at all the others who were there and said, "Do you know the worst thing about church? There's nobody here who's just like me." Robin looked around too and had to agree there was nobody quite the same as Alex. "Just think about it," Alex went on. "Everyone says my family all look a bit the same. When I'm at school, everyone in my class is the same age as me. When I see my neighbour Jason at work at Sainsbury's, all the staff are wearing the same uniform. At football club, everyone loves football. My grandpa loves his reading group because he knows all the people there love reading. My mum likes the parent and toddler group because she meets lots of other parents and can talk about lots of mum and dad stuff. Everywhere we go, there's something the same about people. But not church. There's nobody here just like me." Robin thought for a moment, "But we're friends, aren't we, Alex? Even though we're not the same, you're 8 and I'm 48. We've known each other for 5 years now. Did you know at first I didn't like you?" "Why not?" asked Alex, seeing a twinkle in Robin's eye. "Well," said Robin, "you were 3 years old when we first met. You ran around a lot. You were quite noisy in church. I used to scowl at your dad. I wish someone would make you be still and quiet." And Alex laughed. "So then what happened? Did you and my dad fall out?" "No," laughed Robin. "Thank goodness we didn't. Know you and your dad helped me to learn that being noisy and wriggly in church is just fine. Letting you be yourself was the best way to welcome you and get to know you. I started playing games with you sometimes. Do you remember?" "Yes, one day you said you'd listen better to the minister because we were building Lego as she was talking." "Oh dear," said Robin, feeling a bit embarrassed. "Do you remember that? But it was true. Maybe I should go build Lego in church more often. But you see, Alex, at first I thought that because you were nothing like me, we would never like each other." Alex thought about it and was very glad to be friends with Robin, even though they were two very different people. Then Alex thought about Robin and said, but there's nobody here who's just like you, Robin. Nobody who's your age or who lives near you or who do the same kind of job as you or who has no family and isn't married like you. Don't you think that's the worst thing about church? No, said Robin wisely. I think that's the best thing about church. Where else can I meet and make friends with so many people who are not like me and learn to understand each other and do things together? Sometimes it's a challenge, but it's great. Maybe, said Alex. Come on, Robin got up. Let's have another cup of tea. And there are still some custard creams left. Something for us to ponder and something that we'll explore further later in our service. We're going to sing 204. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together.
Today is from Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 11 to verse 22. Listen for the word of God. One in Christ. You Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcised by the Jews, who call themselves the circumcised, which refers to what men do to their bodies, remember what you were in the past. At that time, you were apart from Christ. You were foreigners and did not belong to God's chosen people. You had no part in the covenants, which were based on God's promises to his people. And you lived in this world without hope and without God. But now, in union with Christ Jesus, you who used to be far away have been brought near by the sacrificial death of Christ. For Christ himself has brought us peace by making Jews and Gentiles one people. With his own body, he broke down the wall that separated them and kept them enemies. He abolished the Jewish law with its commandments and rules in order to create out of the two races one new people in union with himself, in this way making peace. By his death on the cross, Christ destroyed their enmity. By means of the cross, he united both races into one body and brought them back to God. So Christ came and preached the good news of peace to all, to you Gentiles who were far away from God, and to the Jews who were near to him. It is through Christ that all of us, Jews and Gentiles, are able to come in the one Spirit into the presence of the Father. So then, you Gentiles are not foreigners or strangers any longer. You are now fellow citizens with God's people and members of the family of God. You too are built upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone being Christ Jesus himself. He is the one who holds the whole building together and makes it grow into a sacred temple dedicated to the Lord. In union with him, you too are being built together with all the others into a place where God lives through his Spirit. Thanks be to God for this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Irene. And what better hymn to sing after that than 200 in our hymn books? Christ is made the sure foundation, Christ the head and cornerstone. This is where I wish I could rap, so play along. This is the church, the invitation, the participation, the collaboration, the young and the old, the grown up, the grown bold, the listeners, the learners, dependents and earners, those who went to university, left school at 14 with stress or mess or success in between, those who read The Guardian, The Times, The Stars and Between the Lines, the lovers and haters of Marmite, Mondays, Facebook and Fundies, the inventive, inquisitive, invisible, competitive, nine-to-fivers, shift workers, students, sessional workers, spendthrifts and prudents, those getting by on a living wage, on pensions, on bonus pay, on benefits, financial tensions, computer geeks and technophobes, Luddites, socialites, hermaphrodites, suburbanites, the politically active, inactive, apathetic, engaged in rage or apoplectic, the meditators, agitators, commentators, procrastinators, the bookworms, TV addicts, couch potatoes and gym fanatics, rough it outdoor campers, luxurious glampers, lovers of salmon sandwich hampers or weekend spa pampers, those who pray on the hoof or by the book, who long for proof or need a hook, the left-brainers, right-brainers, lion-tamers, green campaigners, the sprinters, plodders, hobblers and odd-jobbers. This is the church, the invitation, the participation, the collaboration. To be part of the mix is no picnic, no quick fix. To rub each other up the wrong way, but rub shoulders for the long way, together forever in every weather. This is the church, the invitation, the participation, the collaboration. To get things done, to have fun, follow the sun till kingdom come, to be one, to be one, to be one. Is there any other institution in the planet bigger and more diverse and intergenerational than the church? If there is, few of us have heard of it. Yet this reality of being a body of people who are rich in their diversity and wisdom and faith seems often to be more of a problem to us than a cause of celebration. Too often we see diversity as a problem instead of a strength. Back in Paul's time, when the human population was a tiny fraction of the size it is now, they still struggled to cope with the gift of diversity. The letter to the Ephesians takes up this issue that in a culture that we maybe can't relate to very well, but it does relate to us today. Paul's premise is that God has formed a new humanity, bringing us together from different ends of the cultural and political spectrum in order to make us one in Christ. Paul's focus is on Jew and Gentile and the great battle raging in the early church about who was it to be invited into the faith. Paul won that battle and the church became universal. Last week in our service, we were reminded that despite our backgrounds, that at the center of our faith was Christ, and that in that the lavishness of God's love. His grace excluded no one. Ruth's story displayed for us the inclusiveness of God's love, this destitute foreigner being welcomed into a new community. Paul recognizes that such peaceful diversity is how kingdom is shaped. It's not that everyone believes the same or expresses their faith or belonging in an identical way. Jew does not become Gentile and Gentile does not become Jew. Both become one in Christ. The Holy Land that Paul was preaching to is the same Holy Land today that is still not a place of peace, the peace that Paul was teaching about. The early church disagreed about many things, including traditions and biblical interpretation. The example Paul uses is that of male circumcision. But he could easily have used the example of eating food sacrificed to idols, or the fighting over who was to follow Apollos or himself. There was lots of debate in the early church, and there is continued debate today. People within our denomination and across denominations hold well wide-ranging views on a variety of subjects, and often their arguments are biblically based. Our views on particular topics and issues are shaped by the way we were brought up, the words that we have heard preached, the people we mix with, what we read in the newspaper or hear on the news. And strangely often, people we would assume would have the same views as us have diametrically opposed views. In this church, there will be things that we'll all agree on, but lots that we don't. And that is okay. And the differences that we may have might surround how we interpret parts of the Bible. Because we can all read passages from the Bible, and depending on the various lenses that we look at life through, may come to different interpretations. Different interpretations of the same text coming to different conclusions. Now, sadly, over the years, across our country, differences like this have caused people to walk away from their church, sometimes never to darken the door of a church again, or sometimes to go where they feel more comfortable with people who share their views and opinions. And that is okay. I've always thought that the strength of the Church of Scotland was that there was room for a variety of theological positions. We have far more in common than we have that which is different. Because the most important thing is that we have God's love for us and our faith in Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Paul said it is through Christ that all of us, Jews and Gentiles, are able to come in the one Spirit into the presence of the Father. That could easily be reworded to say, it is through Christ that all of us, local or incomer, male or female, young or old, Church of Scotland born and bred or got here via some other denomination or none, gay or straight, are able to come into the one Spirit in the presence of the Father. It's how we do that that is the real challenge. How do we ensure that everyone feels welcome into the presence of God? And we do it, I think, by recognising our diversity. And having recognised it, it is not to see it as a threat, but rather to see it as a strength. The diversity of the Church of Scotland is one of the reasons I love it so much. Yes, there are times when I have been upset by something a colleague or a member has said because I disagreed with them. And I have sat and listened as another Church of Scotland minister preached a sermon that basically said that my marriage to a non-Christian was against God's will. Well, after 30 years, I can honestly say that my marriage to my best friend feels more like a blessing from God than a curse. And God had a funny way of showing his displeasure. He called me into ministry, which for the most part is a real joy, although I would be lying if I said it was never hard. We are a diverse bunch. I look around this church and see a group of individuals, each of you with your own life story to tell, each of you with your own understanding of God, and each of you with your own journey of faith and what it means to have Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And none of those stories, none of those understandings and journeys have any greater value than another. Not one of you is loved more by God than another. Your story, your understanding of God, your journey of faith is yours and yours alone. I cannot tell you what to think. I can give you my insight into what I feel God is saying to me, or I can give you what I conclude from studying the Bible and the context of the text and what it might have to say to our contemporary context. But I cannot and should not tell you what to think or feel. Gone are the days when the preacher would stand here and lambast you with doctrine and theology that woe betide you if you did not accept and adhere to. This is not the world that we live in. It is not the church that we belong to. Instead, we have a much more diverse world and a much more diverse church. And of course, that brings its tensions. I'd be lying if I said anything else. But it also brings its strengths, more strengths than weaknesses, in my view. That we are all different, that we have our own opinions and views, that we have different stories to tell is a strength, because it means we bring different ideas, different skills to the table. Our differences do not weaken us. We can be friends with people we disagree with, can't we? I have colleagues within the Church of Scotland with whom I disagree on certain aspects of doctrine and theology. That doesn't stop me being good friends with them. That doesn't stop me working with them for the betterment of the church and God's kingdom. Indeed, I have been offered support and encouragement from people who are in a very different place on the theological spectrum to where I am. And some of my best friends are people that I profoundly disagree with. I've recently become good friends with someone that not that long ago I would have sat at one side of the room and glowered at him. I know, not very Christian of me. I would have done. But we're now really good friends and confidants, sharing a mutual trust and respect for each other, as well as being able to laugh together. We can disagree without falling out. And guess what? We discovered that we had far more in common than that which we disagreed. And yes, sometimes it means keeping my mouth shut for the betterment of our friendship, and sometimes it does involve me challenging his views. But this can be done in a civil, polite, good-natured way, because harsh words never help any relationship. I often think that if we were all a little bit more thoughtful about how we express our differences and our concerns, if we were a bit kinder with our words, how much easier it would be to get on with folk with whom we disagree or want to challenge. Words can wound, and often it's these wounds that take the longest to heal. And this takes me back nicely to what Paul reminds us of in his letter to the Ephesians, because Paul's letter is a wake-up call to the church, not just the Church of Scotland, but the universal church. His letter is an invitation to get back to basics, to put aside our differences and to remember where our strength comes from, where our unity comes from. Over the next couple of weeks, we will continue to hear Paul's words in his letter to the Ephesians, and we will consider how, as a church, we work together. Next week, we'll consider how to use the gifts that God has given us for the benefit of the church and those that we share the church with. But for now, I'll leave you with this. We are at our strongest when we stick together despite our differences. When we can recognise that there can be diversity in unity and that that can be a strong bond held together by God's love and God's indulgent grace. Because our foundations are strong. As Paul said, you too are built upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone being Christ Jesus himself. He is the one who holds the whole building together and makes it grow into a sacred temple dedicated to the Lord. In union with him, you too are being built together with all the others into a place where God lives through his Spirit. Amen. We continue our worship, this time through our offering. Living in love demands more, Lord, than money, however rich we may be. Following your Son, Jesus, calls us to stretch beyond our goodness and our charity, beyond our generosity to discover reserves we did not know existed, to tread paths that are unfamiliar, to receive as well as to give in ways we never imagined. As we commit our offering, may we recommit our lives in selflessness and service to the glory of your kingdom. Amen. Our hymn is 513. Courage, brother, do not stumble, though your path be dark as night. To God in our prayers for others. Let us pray. In the beauty of creation is a glimpse of your glory, Lord. In our relationships with family and friends is a sign of your love. In our fellowship here in this place is a mark of our commitment to live and share our faith. And so we thank you, Lord, for the promise on a hillside which has guided and comforted us on our life's journey, however long or short. Knowing you are with us always, with us now in this place, we pray for our world and the people around us. A world not always patient and kind, people in need of nurturing and care. We pray for your kingdom to reach them right where they are, to open up new life-giving opportunities, to bring growth and fruitfulness. For not everyone is strong, God, so we ask that you support them. Not everyone is rich, so we ask that you provide for them. Not everyone is happy, so we ask that you give them cause to smile. Not everyone has family and friends, so we ask that you be their companion. Not everyone is healthy, so we ask that you bring healing. Not everyone is treated fairly, so we ask that you stand up for them. Help us in our care for one another to share your story, a story that took root in the earthiness of people's lives and gave them courage and strength, a story of a love that made the most ordinary people believe they could do extraordinary things, because Jesus laughed and cried with them and blessed them. Help us to be a part of your everlasting promise, that our story might reflect the good news of your kingdom, wherever you call us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is 449, Rejoice, the Lord is King. And a wee reminder that after the sung Amen, we'll be singing together as we go now. To hymn 449. Us out, O God, united in love for you, united as your holy people, united together in you. Go now with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by your side always.